Today is a continuation of last week, where we left off speaking unto you about Abraham returning back out of the land of Egypt, after he had went down into this land and had sinned against God, and saying that his wife was his sister and she had been taken away from him. This king had lavished great gifts upon him. He came up out of the land of Egypt rich, with much silver and gold and much cattle. And we find that Abraham returned to the very place where he had erected the altar, where God had met with him in the first place when he entered into the land of Canaan. There we may believe that Abraham sent up an offer of thanksgiving unto God, for God had delivered him from being in Egypt and from a great sin, and from his wife likewise being defiled by the king of Egypt. Here we find Abraham then resorting to this place of prayer. What a blessing, my hearers, if you have such a place. Have any of my hearers such a place in your home where you resort to, where you confess your sins, where you tell him what you are and how you live and how you act, and how you may also thank God at different times and show your gratitude to him for the mercies and for the deliverances given unto you and yours? Oh, my hearers, what a blessing if we have such a place in our home. I hope that every one of my hearers has such a place. Or don't you have such a place? Have you never had a place where God met with you, where he communed with you? If you have, you wish to return to that place again. You wish God again to appear unto you. You wish him again to speak unto you. And that is why Abraham returned to this place where he had built this altar. And now, being very rich, and having so much cattle, and having so many servants likewise who took care of these cattle, Lot, his brother's son, over whom he was uncle, was also very rich. And now it appears that there was a strife amongst the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and also of Lot's cattle. The land was not able to bear these two men and all the substance that they had. When they came up out of Ur of the Chaldees, they were intimate companions. They were inseparable. But now, where they became rich, why, they could not live together any longer. The herdmen were having trouble. They probably were arguing amongst each other which cattle should have the best watering place and the best place to pasture these cattle where they would eat the grass. And now these servants, they brought their troubles to their masters, which they should have never had done. They should have kept it to themselves and straightened out the matter. But bringing it to their masters, there we have them also carrying their troubles to Abraham and Lot. And now Abraham, he reveals what sort of a spirit he has in him. We read, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God." And Abraham was a peacemaker. Rather than have trouble, rather than live like this with Lot, he said to Lot, "It's time for us to separate, Lot. We can't live together any longer. Now I'll give you the chance to take whatever piece of ground you want. Make your choice, Lot. If you go to the east, I will go to the west. Whatever way you go, I will go the opposite." Now this was great on the part of Abraham, because Abraham was uncle over Lot. And God had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and Lot had went up with him. And now if Lot had been in his right place, he would have said to Abraham, "Listen, God called you and called you into this land, and now you make the choice first. It's not for me to make the choice, but you should make the choice." But Lot did not speak this way. Lot, he had his eye upon a fertile plain, a beautiful piece of ground which lay to the east. This place is called Sodom and Gomorrah. It was well watered before the Lord destroyed it. And Lot had his eye upon this place, and he thought, if I get that ground, then I can go there with my cattle, and I'll probably become richer than I am, and I will live very comfortably for the rest of my life. And now he decided that he would take this choice of going towards the east. And we find then that Abraham and Lot, they separate from themselves. This, my hearers, teaches us a very important truth. We have here Lot making a choice. Sensual choices are sinful. When we make choices in this life, respecting those that we're going to marry, our relatives, respecting a home or a dwelling place or a habitation, respecting a job, I would say, a position in life, and we have in view nothing else but the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, to become someone in this world, and we pay no regard to our soul's welfare, you may be sure that God's presence will never go up with you, that you will not have God's blessing upon you. These choices are made continually in this life. We choose beauty, we choose wealth, we choose what our eye sees, regardless of what shall become of our soul. Do we not see this taking place so often amongst young people? They leave their fathers and mothers home, and they go away seeking to become someone in this world. Oh, how sinful and how evil is this in the sight of God. Oh, remember, you have an immortal soul, and we are to look after our soul's welfare. What is well for our soul will surely be well for our providential experience in life. This that Lot chose reveals the truth again of what I am speaking about. For he never had a good day while he dwelt amongst these people. He chose this place, but he was a man that was born again. He was a person that had spiritual life. One of the apostles speaks of him that he vexed his righteous soul every day while he dwelt amongst them. He had no one else to blame but himself for making this choice and experiencing what he did in the land of Sodom. But now Abraham, he went the opposite way. He remained in the land of Canaan. And what happens to Abraham? God appears unto Abraham and again reveals unto him the promise that he had given him at the beginning, that he was going to make of Abraham a great nation, and that he should look to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west, and that all this land he would give unto him and to his seed after him. Oh, how wonderful this must have been to Abraham. Lot choosing this fertile plain, this beautiful, rich valley. Abraham, he was in this land of Canaan. Probably it was barren. Probably there wasn't too much growing there. Although we read in Scripture afterward that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Still they had famines in that land, as we just had in our lesson. And now Abram has an appearance of God. My hearers, an appearance of God in life is much better than to have what Lot had. You may be sure that Lot had no appearances of God in making this choice. It was a sinful and a sensual choice. But Abraham had his God come to him and again revealed to him what he had revealed to him in the beginning. Oh, how sure was Abraham now that God would fulfill the promise that he had given him. This meeting with God is so wonderful in life. There may be some amongst my hearers who have had a meeting with God in your life, and God has given you a promise likewise. And this promise has, when it was given to you, wrought exercises in your soul. Oh, it brought you so close to God. It brought you in prayer and in supplication, and you sure thought that it soon would be fulfilled. You had your eye on the promise, and your heart went out to the God who promised it. But what has happened to this promise, and what has happened to your exercises concerning it? You probably even have forgotten the promise. Very seldom do you even bring it in prayer to God, isn't it true? You know why? Because we are such forgetful creatures. We forget God days without number, it says in Scripture, and that's true. And you know, when God wants to remind us, then he must come again like he did to Abraham and renew unto us the promise that he has given unto us. Has he never done that to you? Has he never come again and made it all true again what he gave unto you in the beginning? Has he not given a blessed witness again that you are his child and that he will most certainly fulfill what he has promised to give you? This is what Abraham had. And oh, what an encouragement in life to go forward therein. When God meets with us, and God comforts us, and God encourages and strengthens us. This is what happened to Abraham. It was as if God said to Abraham, now, Abraham, you don't have to be jealous about Lot. You don't have to be discontented because Lot has chosen this pleasant valley and this rich place. Look up and down the land. See what I am going to give unto you. And besides, Abraham, haven't I appeared unto you three times? I am your God. Oh, if we have him, my hearers, we don't care too much about this world's goods, believe me. With God, we can do all things. But if we only have our eye on the world and the pleasures and the riches thereof, we are very poor creatures, very poor in the estimation of God. And now, my hearers, our lesson springs quite a jump. It takes a step from the 13th chapter all the way to the 18th chapter. In between those chapters, we find many things which we have had in the past. We find that God entered into a covenant with Abraham and that he had all his family circumcised. We find likewise that Abraham, he married Hagar. And he had also a son by this woman called Ishmael. We will not dwell upon these topics, for I would fall far behind the lessons as we have them on our program. Today our lesson is about Abraham pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. And we find Abraham sitting in the front of his tent in the heat of the day. And the Lord appeared unto him. And as he looked up, he seen three men coming towards him. Now, this must have been a wonderful appearance of the Lord unto Abraham. The commentary says that they were two created angels, and the third was the Son of God in the form of man, who came down at this time and visited Abraham. We don't read of those things today anymore. We don't read of saints meeting God in the person of man anymore. But at those times, it pleased God to manifest himself in this way unto his saints. And Abraham, when he seen these three men coming to him, he arose from the tent, and he ran to meet them, and he fell down before them. He had great respect for them. Or whether he knew that they were angels, or whether he knew that it was the Son of God in person, remains a question. But he invited them to stay and to eat with him. Therefore, he says, ye have come to thy servant. How sure Abraham was of being a servant of the Lord. And now he brought them to his tent, and he went in and commanded Sarah to prepare and make cakes and make bread. And likewise, he went to the herd, and he got a calf tender and young, and he had a young man dress it and kill it and prepare it. And they sat down under the tree, and he fed them there. Now, Abraham was very rich, but the food that he gave unto them was food that was convenient and that was not elaborate. It was not anything delicious and dainty, but it was real good food. And now they sat there, and they commenced to talk unto Abraham, and said, where is Sarah thy wife? And Abraham said, she's in the tent. And now the principal person that did the speaking, it appears to be the Son of God. And he's speaking to Abraham that at this certain time in life, he would visit them, and he would visit Sarah, and that she would have a son. This was another promise that God again reminded Abraham of, for he had given him this promise in the preceding chapters. And Abraham probably had never said anything to his wife about this promise. But now they asked where Sarah was, and she was in the tent, and the person that was speaking spake loud enough so that Sarah heard what he said, that she would give birth to a son. She could not believe this. She was far beyond the age of having children, and so was Abraham. And she laughed in herself. She said, shall I, who am old, have happiness? But this person that's doing the talking knew that she laughed, and spake unto Abraham and said, why did she laugh? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It seemed to be an impossibility. It must have been even to Abraham. He had promises that God was going to make of him a great nation, and that he would become a multitude of people. And he had no child, and he had a promise, but what would become of the promise?